think about, dear listener at home, they need some succor during this period.
Are we going to what? They'll suck each other off.
Welcome back to What's All That About, a podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps, and with me, as always, is my dear longtime mate, public toilet critic and co-host Cohen. G'day, Cohen.
Oh, Kelso, me old mucker. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, sir, and a huge welcome to you.
I feel very welcome and comfortable, so much so that there's been something festering for a while that I would like to bring up. Ooh. And perhaps I should have brought it up 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But we've touched on it once or twice, and I think it might be healthy for me to revisit it. But I'm still kind of mad at you for, you know, when you used to play drums at McDonald's with McDonald's cups?
Yeah.
I don't think you realize the strain that put on your friends, because first of all, we had enough had to have enough friends and enough drinks to make up a drum kit.
I got
pretty sick of getting the extra large Sprite after a certain amount of time.
Well, I needed a floor tom and a ride cymbal, so yeah.
Well, the real trouble came is when you started demanding you need some of those, you know, those paper sauce cups.
Oh,
they're hard to find sometimes.
I know those paper sauce cups, yeah. Look, I had
would they be used as a floor tom?
Yeah, I guess so. I'd probably use them as maybe cymbals, hi-hats. I don't know. I'm very particular about my McDonald's drum kit. You know, changes over time. But look, I mean, I had a few friends. I think I had enough friends to make a kit, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's the problem. You're a bit of a prima donna. You were inviting people we didn't like, suggesting menu items that weren't requested by others. I remember a couple of times getting a couple of extra McFlurries just for the lids.
Right. And I was bullying people into getting a value meal. You know.
Yeah. So that you could put on this performance art. Now, you know, slightly entertaining performance art, performance art nonetheless.
Oh, look, mate, I did it all for the ladies. Even though there's probably no ladies present, I was working towards performing that for a lady. I never got there.
It might have prevented ladies from actually joining us at those four tables.
It might have been lady repellent, if anything. I was under the wrong impression, clearly, there.
Yeah. Well, we were at McDonald's, grouped in hordes, playing fast food cup drums. The ladies were obviously elsewhere.
Yeah, I think going to the McDonald's is more of a friends thing. I mean, you don't take your girlfriend to McDonald's. I mean, unless you're in a car, you drive through with your girlfriend to McDonald's. You don't go.
Perhaps
in
all
there.
The girls were at the French cafe and in the mall. Saying, where's all the guys?
Well, if they're anything like the town I live in, all the girls go to Cinnabon. I don't know if you've heard, that's a thing. I know it's American, I don't know if it's in the UK.
No, that's something I've never, I know that there's a thing called Cinnabon, but that's all I know about it. Not in the UK.
There's one near me, and every time I go past it, it's just like 99% girls. I don't know what it is they're selling there, but should get in on it. Maybe it's cinnamon. Maybe we've been overlooking the magic herb to female attraction this whole time. It was cinnamon.
I wonder if it's something similar to what my dad would call the coffee scroll.
I think it is. It is that kind of thing. It's like glazed scrolls. It's kind of one of those things. It's not really so much that it's that good. It's just a very good vessel for sugar. You know what I mean?
A perfectly designed vessel.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you take away the sugar, it's nothing special.
But, is that because of the scroll makeup? Do you think it's a perfect, receptacle?
Yeah. Do you think there is a scroll maker? Like this old, grizzly old guy that's been making scrolls for 50 years and perfecting the art?
Well, nowadays he's stuck behind a desk, of course. Yeah. He wants to get his hands dirty or sticky, shall I say.
Right. But, I wonder if, like, he's now, like, really disappointed, like, because back in my day, we didn't put that much sugar on it, you know. It's the lost art of Cinnabon making, you know. Mm. So it's all about the
and
sugar.
Then these fancy Americans come in with their cinnamon. Folks just used to be happy with sugar.
Exactly. 50 years of scroll making only to have some teenager dump a whole lot of sugar on it. It's a crying shame.
Well, sure, there was sugar, just in different forms.
Yeah, surely they couldn't have had sugar like that back then. That's crazy. Have you seen that sugar? That's a different kind of sugar. This is sugar from, like, you know, this is the 21st century sugar.
Corn syrup.
Probably, yeah, probably. We don't have that here, but apparently all the American food is corn syrup, but here we make it out of good old-fashioned sugar cane, the way it should be. I'm not an advocate for sugarcane, by the way. I'm not getting paid. How many times do you remember me treating you to a McDonald's drum solo? I only really remember doing it a couple of times.
Maybe it's something I've become infatuated with and have blown up into more beyond proportion.
Well, a couple of times is enough. You know, if someone played cup drums in front of you twice, you'd remember it, you know.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen very often.
Look, well, even once is, like, enough, but twice, that's pretty much tattooed in there, you know, after twice. But, yeah, I think maybe you were just present for both of my performances. I realized there wasn't really a huge market for it, I think, in the end, and maybe those ladies weren't forthcoming. So, time to
and also,
move on.
Once you perfected it once, you know, are you going to try to do it over and over again? Perhaps not.
Exactly. It's like climbing Everest. You know, once you've done it, it's like, why do it again? You know.
It was either that or spend your 10,000 hours.
Yeah. Look, if only, you know, I don't know if I could say that I have done my 10,000 hours on anything except masturbating. I think I'd probably be
getting close.
Definitely done 10,000 hours there.
You're getting close to those 10,000 hours, so much so you're edging up to it.
Each time I get close to the 10,000, I just pull back a bit.
Now, I would suggest that perhaps had you put your 10,000 hours in, you could have struck a deal with the local McDonald's franchisees to perhaps tour. And, you know, really, in the same way that Coca-Cola promoted the yo-yo.
The yo-yos, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yo-yo fad.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could have got little kids, boys and girls, playing McDonald's drums around the place, you know, generating some real vibe
right
in those restaurants. But also radically uplifting the sales of drinks.
So you're saying I could go around to schools, Ryan, and do like a lunchtime performance for the kids in the covered play area of me, you know, playing some McDonald's cups, getting paid for it, of course, promote.
I hadn't thought of going actually into the school.
Well, you sort of said yo-yos.
Set aside a location in each store that you travel around, but going into the schools, that's thinking.
Well, I mean, you put the idea in my head with the yo-yos, because remember how, like, the yo-yo people used to come around to your school at lunchtime and do yo-yo tricks, and you think that it's a promotion for yo-yos, but it's actually a promotion for Coca-Cola?
Sneak up on you.
Yeah, that does that.
Yes, well, I was more thinking about the corporate association, not the exact model, but I think you're right.
Well, I think you've got to dive into the nuts and bolts eventually. Why not start there?
Now, would there be some pushback from the dinner ladies, perhaps, in the cafeteria, in the tuck shop?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. We went to the same high school. You might have remembered that some of those tuck shop ladies, the dinner ladies, they weren't exactly happy to be there, if we'll put it that way. Bottom line is don't anger a dinner lady.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm worried you might do. If you, you know, strike up this association, all of a sudden you're found in the forecourt of the multi-purpose shelter, showing off how much fun kids can have at McDonald's treats, then there might be a bit of a...
Yes.
Blow up.
I know, yeah, the home-baked brigade. Like a little snooty, the franchisee. But look, I tell you what, maybe if we agree that there was never any food in the cups or any drink in the cups. You know what I mean? Maybe just empty cups. You know, no consumption of the product on school premises. Maybe.
Yeah, but if the fad takes hold, you're going to get kids jumping the fence, ducking down to local McDonald's, coming back with the cups. That's what's going to upset the dinners ladies. Now, although perhaps they might start their own rival percussion. Percussion example using funny face wrappers and cold cups.
look, that's a very cheap sounding drum kit to me. I wouldn't play that. No way. McDonald's.
They'll probably get your worst rival to man it if you're not going to pony up.
Look, I think the McDonald's drum kit has it in the bag. If you've got to go up against the flotsam and jetsam you can find at the tuck shop.
That might be an alternative if McDonald's knock us back on this business venture.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, we're still going to go into the schools anyway, mate.
Yeah, that's
right. And then you'll have to make do with those funny face and cold cups.
Yeah, maybe I'll threaten them. Maybe I'll sort of approach Burger King as well. And, I said Burger King. We call it Hungry Jack's here. I was trying to be international.
Yeah.
But, that's the rival. I'll play Hungry Jack's or Burger King cups if I have to. I'll do it. I've done it before, and I'll do it again.
Is there any fast food chain you reckon don't have the infrastructure to support a percussion-based school integration marketing campaign?
Yes, Cinnabon. Yeah, I've already staked him out. There's nothing doing now.
All I've got is serviettes and coffee stirrers.
But unlike my McDonald's drums, there's heaps of women. So right. Maybe we got this all wrong. I think we just went full circle with that, and I've now realised that I'm going to get my McDonald's cups, go back on the road and start drumming out the side of a Cinnabon. There you go. See what happens.
I dare say you might feature in a few Instagram stories. However, not too critical acclaim.
So, not positive reviews.
Check out this. be akin to a homeless man dancing in the car park of a Sizzler.
Yeah, I'll be like a viral video that the title is something like, Desperate Man Fails in Front of, Cinnabon.
McDonald's discern.
Have you noticed there's no more Ronald McDonald anymore?
What's the exit stage left?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. It's a shame. Because I noticed how with KFC, they've really brought the Colonel back front and center again. Remember for a while it was more KFC trying to be fun and quick and hip.
I don't think that was a move to squeeze out the Colonel. I think that was a move to say we've got more than just chicken.
Oh.
And it's not fried.
I think it was a military coup to oust the Colonel. That's what I think what happened. No, but he's back, bigger than ever.
He was ever very big.
Well, he's the animated Colonel is in all the ads now, where they didn't really do that. That's what I'm saying. He's like
he just struck me as a wizened frame, not a large figure.
Right. No, he's a cool guy. but they brought back the Colonel and got rid of Ronald. That's what I'm saying. I just think that's an interesting little...
Now, when you say get rid of Ronald, does it mean he's not sitting on those benches anymore with his arm around the back?
He's not. He is definitely not.
And, not in ads. Not that I watch ads anymore, but interesting.
Somewhere in the world, there's a giant pit full of Ronald McDonald statues from... they've all gone somewhere.
I feel sorry for the lanky, redhead, clown-inclined teenager who'd been eyeing up the minute he turned 18 he could sign on to the roster, only to find when he came of age that opportunity of employment, career development was no longer at his disposal.
That's a hard luck story.
He thought for a moment of auditioning to become the new Wendy, but that's never going to work.
Yeah, poor guy. Well,
that's Something we don't get here, we don't have the Wendy's burger chain. I don't think that's made it outside of the continental USA.
No, it's not here but, either, in Australia.
According to the internet, the lady associated with Wendy, i.e. Wendy, I'm going to assume, she's quite popular on the internet.
Is she? And tell me a little bit more about Wendy. Give me Wendy's stats.
I think it might be off the back of... According to the memes I've seen, is that the Wendy social media Twitter account perhaps has got quite a bit of tongue-in-cheek fun.
Right. So there is an actual Wendy.
Well, yes, and I think there might also be some overt sexualization of Wendy.
Said Wendy, right, okay. like, what are we talking? Is she like an older lady or...?
Oh, I'm going to have to look it up now, dear listener.
Well, all right, it sounds like, yeah, get the flugelhorn. We're taking a little trip to Ipanema.
Oh, I thought a flugelhorn was a reference from Rick and Morty for a second.
Flurm.
Oh, here we go. Okay, hamburgers, Wendy's, good start. Yep. No, that's not going to help. I've just gone to a menu.
Yeah, you know what? Well, yeah, I'm not hungry, but...
I tried to Google Petitely. It's not going to work.
Google Petitely. That's all right. Just hammer the keys, mate. Don't worry about me or the dear listener. We love it.
What? Okay. You like a good hammer? Well, no, that can't be right.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
No, there is an actual lady born in 1961, but no, I'm... This ain't going to go very far.
Well, that makes her 60. I was like, I'm wondering how old she is. So Wendy's 60. So they're sexualizing a 60-year-old lady on Instagram.
Well, they were.
Well, I mean, there's anything wrong with that. I mean, think of Helen Mirren. Everyone talks about how sexy she is, and she's 60-something, I'm sure.
Oh. Anyway, the character is more like a, I'm going to say, 17-year-old Pippi Longstocking style person.
Oh, okay. Not what I imagined.
She seems to be dressed in, 19th century prairie clothing. Yeah, I could think of the best way to describe it.
Well, like the Waltons kind of thing.
Yeah, like the Waltons.
Right, okay.
Except the female Waltons. The thing is,
when I think of Wendy's, for some reason I think 1950s. I don't know why. I wasn't thinking Little House on the Prairie. But
yes, but that could have been the ideal kind of mascot. To have or the dressing for your mascot, because look at Colonel Sanders. Maybe he set the tone. Obviously, McDonald's went off on their own for circus apparel.
Yeah, they went and got some kind of clown who is the subject of most children's nightmares. I think it'd be phasing. I think you know what it was. It was probably it. You know, and you know, just so like
they went, yeah.
Yeah, the clowns used to be fun, but now they're basically, yeah, the antagonist and everyone's nightmares, you know. So I think McDonald's wised up and went, and we're not going to have a Ronald McDonald, we're just going to have whatever, kids movie is popular that month is going to be our mascot.
Can you imagine the absolute... tons of free toys that must have been given over the last 20, 30 years.
My sister's house is full of them because she has two kids and they both insist on getting a Happy Meal. Although it's more the milkshake that they're into. They don't really eat the food. And then, yeah, they have just this mountain of free tat that they give away at not only burger places, but supermarkets now as well. I don't know if that's a thing over in London town, but yeah, in the big supermarkets here, there's a war to see who can give away the best free thing that kids really want, all of them. And, you know, mum has to keep shopping at this supermarket rather than the other place. It's, yeah. It's a bit of a Burger King McDonald's situations here. But in the fight is with the kids' toys.
Well, that's a change in policy because when we were kids, the mum and dad were going back to the same supermarket in order to get some crockery.
Crockery?
Do you remember there was those schemes? You had to get enough stamps from shopping at a certain supermarket and then you could buy crockery at a reduced price?
I did not know that. No, that's new. That's new to me in every way.
I might be using crockery incorrectly. What does crockery mean?
It's plates. isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you could buy a whole dinner service from... You don't remember this at all?
What were you thinking you were saying? Like a rockery from a garden or something? Were you worried that you were saying that instead?
No, I was more thinking about a certain display at Steve Irwin's Australia Zoo. Oh. Crockery.
the Crocoseum, right. That's an easy mistake to make.
Quite a common thing. Maybe it was more of the smaller independent retailers, but yes, if you collected stamps and you get a stamp for every $10 you spent,
right? Okay,
and then you'd have opportunity to buy complete dinner service from plates to bowls to gravy boats.
Gravy boat. Whoa. Okay, that's serious. No, I mean, look. I mean, I'll tell you one thing about crockery. You don't want to buy any.
It just comes to you?
Was that like, okay, that was a sexy headline designed to grab your attention. But what I really mean by that is you should keep the amount of plates and bowls and cups you have in your house to a minimum. That's my secret.
Oh.
Because if you own heaps of stuff, they all get dirty. Because unless you're one of those people that washes the dishes every day. But like, who does that? That's sociopaths.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a dishwasher. So I guess that's part of the reason.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway.
If you don't have a dishwasher, you're probably wise to work on that model. However, it does mean the dinner parties are somewhat limited, or perhaps BYO.
Yeah, well, I never entertain here. But look, I used to have a dishwasher. Yeah, my ex-wife's hands in the sink.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah, exactly.
Now, you can say to your friends, I am intending to have a dinner party. I will provide food, but I'm afraid the crockery, it's BYO.
Right. No, I mean, I do a lot of nachos. It don't require your own plate. I've done that once. Look, to be honest, I've never had more than four people in my house at any one time. I'm serious. Four was like high end. Normally it's one to two. Yeah. Normally it's one, yes. Actually. That's my comfort zone, is one guest at a time.
Right.
Any more than that, it starts to get... Well, I run out of plates.
I guess it's nachos again.
Kerwin,
let me set the scene.
Oh, the scene.
If I may.
All right, yeah, go for it.
Picture it. Okay. We were young men just coming of age, and as we've mentioned before on the podcast and to dear listener, there were certain limitations in the place where we grew up surrounding the availability of, let's say, adult material.
Oh, okay.
And the dear listener also knows that, we're two cheeky chaps chatting candidly.
About stuff.
And I'd also like you to remember, both you and the dear listener, that, I have certain appetites. And an inclination towards ingenious solutions and entrepreneurial activities.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is, Kerwin, my porn P.O. box, what's all that about?
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, dear listener, if this is your first podcast you're listening, you're in for a treat. Kelso is about to regale us with one of the greatest stories ever told. I'm just going to sit back. I'm actually in a stool, but I'm going to sit back anyway.
Well, we do be careful.
Turning my back. I'm good.
We don't want any nasty accidents to happen during this segment to you or the dear listener.
No, we wouldn't, would
so,
we?
So listen on low, I dare say.
Okay.
Actually, not too right, Board. It's more chatting candidly than anything.
Exactly. Well, you were just saying it's ingenious. That's what it was. But set the scene. Okay, come on. You did such a good job.
Well, I realized as I was coming up to the age of 18 that you could just at the local post office, as a man of 18, you could pony up the dough and sign up, and for a very small fee, you could get the smallest PO box. So for the dealers who may not be aware, I don't know if PO boxes are a common parlance anymore. PO, of course, standing for post office. But well, I mean, they're in movies all the time, aren't they? In thrillers and
Detective
stories.
So if you don't have them in your country, it's basically having a mailbox that's not at your place. It's somewhere else,
in a
secret
huge
mailbox,
matrix of other mailboxes.
Yeah, a whole bunch of other dudes with little keys.
All ladies.
All ladies, true, but mostly dudes. But to also set the scene, if you don't mind, Kelso.
Please do.
Well, we're talking, early to mid-90s here. So this is pre-internet. This is ordering things over the phone on credit card kind of stuff. You know, this is, you couldn't get, if you wanted adult material in the state that we grew up in where X-rated material was illegal, you had to go to extraordinary lengths. So just to put it in a time frame, that's all I'm going to say. Now I'm backing away. Handing you back the microphone.
Well, the base plan of this plan, of course, was that I first of all I could have a post office box that was unmonitored by anyone associated with my family or friends, presumably, if I ducked in at the right time,
or anyone that knew you at all, or could possibly.
Well, we weren't in a huge town, so there was a chance that someone could have seen me slipping in as a fresh faced 18-year-old to check out my PO box, having only lived 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah, ooh,
strange.
Yeah, I think if I worked there, with this guy. Nice.
Was that Kelso of the podcast just slipping into? And he lives down the road.
He seems to get a lot of mail from Canberra, and we'll get onto that later, I guess. I probably
would have explained it away. So look, I'm house sitting at the moment, and they've got a PO box. Don't ask me why. It sounds a bit dodgy to me, but part of the instructions is to clear it out.
Yeah, the only people that actually have like PO boxes, obviously, are like business people, traveling salesmen, and guys ordering pornography.
Well, that was the thing. This was actually a grift. I had no intention of ordering any pornography, yet still getting pornography. I was on a budget, dear listener.
Okay.
Right.
It just blew my mind.
So I hear you saying, Kelso, the podcast, do tell how this is even possible.
What?
I mean, you're already ponying up the door for the rent of this PO box, this sordid box of lies. No, it occurred to me after perusing the back half, shall we say, of certain magazines, perhaps targeted at horny men.
Yes.
That there were a lot of companies, it seemed, who were more than happy to provide you with such pornographic material if you paid for it. Mm. But it occurred to me that they also must be in the game of sending out catalogs.
Oh, right? Catalogs, yeah.
So my plan was to, in order for the rental of this box, I would be sent an unending stream of pornographic catalogs. Now this might have to do something to do with my proclivities, which were developed by when I was a young man, relying on the local ladies apparel section of delivered catalogs to aid and abet my adult development.
It was quite a step up. Yeah.
But I decided that since I was on a budget, that I would be more than happy to make do with the tiny thumbnails that would appear on a catalog rather than the actual pornographic images.
No, I remember that. One of the more frequent adult publications available in our part of the world at that time were the catalogs to advertise. Like the front, it was just a whole bunch of thumbnails of the front cover of the movie. So you really had to squint, you know.
Now, I don't know if my plan involved procurement of a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
I should have got one of those ones that was seated on a real heavy base, and then you could move the magnifying glass at will on a stretchy arm. Right, I'll just get set up here. Yeah, a little light impregnated in part of the... Anyway.
Well, that's how desperate we were for adult material, was that I'd be very... I could sort of jerk off over a naked lady, but the image the size of a grain of sand.
It wasn't the size of a grain of sand. I'd say a postage stamp.
Maybe a baked bean.
Well, of course, there were varying levels of catalogs. Obviously, there were some that were worth reordering. So to finish off the grand plan, so I went and filled out the form and paid for the PO box. Must have been paying. I wonder how I paid for a year. There wouldn't have been direct debit at the time.
No,
must have been for a year. And then I obviously the final part of my plan was to invest in some stamps. Funny we should bring up postage stamps. Because then my next job was to get one of those magazines, probably stole it from the supermarket I was working at. And I got a whole bunch. I must have bought 20 or so postage stamps, and I wrote letters to all these companies inviting them to send me their catalogs. And then all I had to do, dear listener, was sit back and relax and empty out that post box.
Watch those free catalogs just roll on in.
Tell you what.
Man, you are the king of miniature pornography. You had to get one of those like eyepieces that people that checking diamonds have, you know. Yes.
Turning the pages with a tweezer. Well, that wasn't a story after a few uses.
Oh my god! Oh, that is so funny. How that's like how scarce X-rated pornography was when we grew up. Was that was enough? That'll do. You know.
Well, it was an ingenious. I thought when you look back at it, it ticked a lot of boxes. It was private. That is, I could carry this on without any knowledge of any other people. It was cost-effective. But come to think of it now, it did result in me having to wear glasses at this age of my life.
Well, it was a victimless crime.
Masturbation turned me blind, and also the resolution.
Yeah, we used to laugh about that, but it's true. I don't know. Maybe it's old age is making me blind, but... I think jerking off keeps us young, right? Anyway, I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. But so you had it for a year. Because I think I do remember, well, if I really scratch my forehead, I do remember you saying that your post office box was about to expire. So, yeah, maybe you I can concur that you had it for a year, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Now, you have to imagine, I feel sorry for the poor post office staff, because no doubt when it expired, I didn't sit down again and write to all these catalogue purveyors or suppliers, should I say, and say, please no longer, please refrain from sending your next issue of Big Booby Videos 5. Right. So, and no doubt they probably sold them to other poor warehouses who are looking to clear their decks.
Pass them on.
And so for goodness knows for how much more longer, P.O. Box 269.
269, it was not. Was it?
I did make
it. I was going to say, that's too good if it was 269. but I keep thinking about some, you know, elderly post office employee on the other side of the post office box wall who has to feed these things into your post office, and you're getting exclusively.
And also, I went for the smallest, the cheapest post box, the smallest size. So unless I was getting there and denuding it.
All I can see is this grisly old man like putting another catalog into your post office, and he's thinking, when is this little prick going to pull the trigger and actually buy one of these things? he's flirting. but also, dear listeners should know that maybe in Australia at that time, there was only one tiny little part of Australia that where X-rated material was allowed to be sold. So most people acquired their X-rated material by the mail, through the post.
Indeed.
So, pre-internet. This is what people had to do back in the old days, pre-RedTube.
And paradoxically, that area was in the area where the capital of Australia is, so where the seat of government was.
All the politicians,
that was always a bit of a head-scratcher.
Exactly. And Washington, D.C. was like the place that sold all the hardcore pornography, if you can imagine that for our international listeners. Yeah, so that's so you were very wise to. So I love your strategy. That was, like you said, it was cost effective. You still got X-rated pornography, but like it didn't take a dent to the bank account. It was the perfect crime. So how long did it take you before you actually did pull the trigger and purchase something from the catalogs? Like, or were you just a you know, a casual observer of the medium?
No, I eventually did actually, you'll enjoy this. I pulled together a syndicate.
Syndicate, oh my God. Like, how many?
It took me a while.
How many strong was the syndicate?
Yeah. Well, it took me a while. I had to get the put together a pretty good pitch first, and I didn't get it right the first couple of times.
You didn't pitch me.
Touring quite a few, touring quite a few lounge rooms and boss houses. I got enough. I got enough shareholders.
Right. Put together the boardroom. Okay, so that's interesting that I was just about to say it was interesting that you didn't approach me, but then I realized you knew that I had no money, so like I wasn't eligible.
I think I probably had you come along in some of the pitch meetings to play a little bit of porno music in the background off the keyboard to set the set the scene, you know, the Pavlov Dogum.
Right, so I was part of the, you know, the entertainment, yeah. Trying to sway them.
No, you're probably right. I knew you were going to freeload it anyway, so best mates rights.
I was always going to
ask you to pay for that.
Oh, look, I mean, eventually I got to look at all of them. But how long did it take? Was it like, because you had that PO box for, like you said, for a year. Like, I wonder how much of that year were you just satisfied with the catalogs until you had to order some?
A good amount of time.
Right. Good answer. So
I went from having to steal the occasional picture magazine from work to then having more catalogs that I could examine at a very fine magnitude.
Yeah, it's a real tough one, isn't it? It's softcore porn, but like big pictures, or hardcore porn and tiny pictures. Ooh, it's a tough one, isn't it? You know. we should, I mean, I just, especially for the younger dear listener, I mean, we can't, like, exaggerate how small these pictures were. I mean, it wasn't,
I think it was literally, I think it was a postage stamp.
Hang on, my memory of these catalogs, they weren't A4, they weren't like a, you know, they were A5. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. So you're basically reading a Moleskine diary.
Which, interesting enough, was one of the titles available. Moleskin Diaries,
yeah,
1 to 10.
Sounds hot.
Now, when I did form the syndicate, of course, whenever you get a group of human beings together, there has to be some horse trading and compromise, you know.
Course, yeah.
So it did mean some of the titles that we ended up ordering had changed.
So it was a really rigorous debate down in the bullpen.
There were factions between small-breasted and large-breasted desires.
Yeah, power blocks.
The gangbangers versus the lesbian scene aficionados.
Oh, you couldn't get two more extreme ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I just had to follow through and use my weight and strike a hard bargain.
That's what she said.
What was the first video we ordered? Hard Bargain 5.
Hard Bargain.
It's where
she drives
female, female criminals offer favours at the appellate court. Hard Bargain 5.
Okay. All right. So what was the first thing? What was the first thing that came in the mail for you? Like, as in, like, the actual item rather than the, you finally took the plunge and had some
my syndicate. What's your question?
What was the first title?
I've no idea.
You don't recall?
I think we went into the low end. There was no real, there's no real discussion about the titles. I think we just went for whatever the biggest reduction in price was for, like, I think they end up getting 10 VHSs though.
Actually, you know what? You're right, because I don't think the era that you're describing was the era of funny porn movie titles. Came a little bit later, I think. Most of the time, it was just probably something very tame sounding. They tended to have things more like, you know, Holiday in Rome, you know, kind of stuff, you know. Like Sweet Dreams, stuff like that, you know. It was a bit more subtle with their movie titles, I think, back then.
It's possible, yeah. So, although I do recall that they were all very generic, kind of like 1983 style pornographic productions, but it looked like they had made a packing mistake at the warehouse, and like the because they were all very generic and all very kind of like a middle of the road. But then all of a sudden there was one Ed Powers Dirty Debutantes included as well, which seemed quite unusual because it was completely different from all the rest. And fair to say, it rocked my world.
Wow! So that was it. It was actually a clerical error. That led me to
discovering Ed Powers.
Right.
Oh. And Randy West.
Randy West. Oh man, now there's two guys you wanted at a party, you know.
Wow.
Imagine
as a
you
young
and
man
me,
seeing Ed Powers on screen was a little bit more than I bargained for.
It was confronting, yeah. He wasn't exactly porn star material. Now can you imagine like you, me, Ed Powers and Randy West a night out in the town? But I mean now, not then. I mean now. That would be a scene, you know. Because we would be the young bucks, you know what I mean? We'd be the, you know, they'd be trying to push us, you know, oh, we're too old for this now, you know.
I'm not sure Ed Powers subscribes to that theory.
The thing is, though, this is, I mean, now we're getting real deep, dear listener. I'm not sure if this is a detail I should divulge, but I know. Well, I'm just sort of bringing it back to the Ed Powers video, the VHS, the video cassette tape that you had. I think it actually had my favorite porn star on it. It was like the first thing she ever did, and she was on. I remember like this video had, and she was there. I was like, oh my god, she's it blew my mind. So you know. I'm glad you had that P.O. box, is what I'm saying.
Now, I hear dear listener saying, before you wrap up the segment, did Kelso really get away scot-free? Scot-free! Did he really pull off the perfect crime?
Right.
What do you think the answer is to that, Kerwin?
I hope it's no. I really do.
Well, like any great con man, there's always a chance for slip up, and I did make one slip up, and it was right at the very end of the whole operation. So I must have used my own name for P.O.
The titles have come up, you've got away with it, and there's a little suffix at the end of the movie where you thought everything...
Closing credits.
Exactly.
Closing credits. Because it really was after the fact. So I must have used my real name for the post office box, which made sense. You probably have to show ID.
Yeah.
And then when I ordered the videos, I must have obviously used my real name as well. So the 10 VHS cassettes came in a cardboard box, of course, which didn't fit into the PO box, dear listener, if you're wondering about semantics. They just put a card in there and I picked it up.
Trying to get my head around it. Okay, keep going. Yeah. So much so.
Which makes me think, why would you order a bigger PO box? But anyway, So then, of course, the home for these 10 VHS boxes, if they weren't being lent out to the syndicate members after they'd been returned, obviously after their 2-week rotation.
Hang on. Did we get to about
very
the bottom?
2-week rotation.
Did we get to the bottom of how many members were in the syndicate? Did we get to the bottom of that?
I'm going to say 4 or 5.
Okay.
So that was, you know,
a healthy, healthy syndicate. Yeah. It's a lot of rotating, you know.
That's right.
I hope you guys live close together.
To the feds. So that became the home for these VHS boxes, VHS tapes, of course, in the cardboard box. And after time, of course, one forgets about this. And when I was then leaving town and being a responsible chap, rather than just leaving my pornographic collection in the roof of my parents' house,
Where the possums could get them. And don't forget about that. Remember.
Now, if you're wondering why we're laughing so hard, dear listener, you need to go back and check out Kids with TVs, Weed and Porn Stashes, where you'll find out where I did my porn stash.
Oh, my God.
I probably talked about the P.O. box in that episode, to be honest. But
that was 2 years ago, mate. Kidding. You know, man. So much has changed. What,
if we got an angry tweet from dear listener, we'd be delighted.
I tell you what, people that listen to episode one wouldn't know that that P.O. box number was 269. Tell you that. That's a new detail.
Podcast KAK to express your discontent with that.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the dear listener did ask, did old Al Kelso of the podcast get away with it scot-free? No, it's because of this cardboard box. So when I came to clear out my collection, I decided to donate it to a bit of a squat house. Somebody call it DOS house?
You mean like a bunch of students living together, you mean?
Yeah, so one of our friends, his parents moves an hour out of town, so they bought their children a house for them to go to the university in. So it was a house.
Oh, yeah. I lived there.
You lived there, yeah.
I did live there, yeah, for a time. I do remember returning from moving town and coming home to that place that I was moved at, but it still knew a lot of people that lived there. And, yeah, I do remember your porn collection moving in.
It agreed to pay rent, and
I think it was welcomed.
Of course, it was. Handsomely. It wasn't. I didn't have foisted upon them.
No, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was getting a lot of play from memory.
Literally,
It was just being in the background. Yeah.
Anyway, so I at the time, one of our friend's younger brother was living there, and he gratefully took the donation and became the curator or steward, if you like, of the collection.
I think did you appoint him or did he self-appoint himself? Because either way,
wow, it was a natural progression.
I was going to say he's a great fit for that role.
That's right.
Yeah, sure.
Very quickly put on the white gloves and started switching through the titles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, curator. He would turn the page of the booklet that came with it. I'm sure with a pair of tweezers.
He very frustratingly illuminated each exhibit with only two or three sentences, thus forcing you to buy the guidebook from the bookshop.
Exactly. So you coming?
That annoys me. You're going on a tangent here. I will get to whether I got away with this. I get annoyed at museums when they only have like two or three sentences about the work on the wall. Give me a bit more.
What do you reckon what do you mean, like the little plaque on the thing where there's it just gives you a little bit of info. You're just saying it's not enough. You want more.
Yeah, I'd like more. But maybe that would make the gallery a bit messy.
Yeah. Maybe it's up to the individual later. Anyway, you're right. Let's get okay. Did you get away with this? Come on, I'm on the edge of my seat here, and it's starting to hurt.
All right. So I've set the scene, haven't I?
Yes.
We've got a cardboard box that was sent to my PO box with my name on it. We've got a DOS house owned by my friend's parents, and I've donated the porn collection and the box. So what happens a couple of months after I leave town, the mum comes down to help clean out the house after, some flatmates have left. And what does she come across but a cardboard box full of pornographic videos with my name and address on it? Whoa. Frank Abingale, he made a mistake. The con artist, you think you've done the perfect crime, and there's always something that slips you up. All I needed to do was rip off that label.
I was going to say, you thought of everything except a box with your name on it.
And of course, when I started the project, DNA evidence testing wasn't around. That box was discovered.
Yeah, CSI didn't exist back then.
Let me tell you, there was quite a bit of my DNA on or around that box.
They put away that black light you don't want to know. This room is about to light up.
Put on the sunglasses.
How was that?
Well, it occurs to me, Cohen, dear boy, by looking at the battery on my laptop, it's time to stop this show.
In its tracks, yes.
And what does that mean to you?
Well, it means that I sing a song that's either loosely based on something that you and I have chatted candidly about, or if indeed a dear listener would like to throw a suggestion at us, just, you know, by all means, contact us on Twitter at podcastkak, and also email us at Gmail. Oh, sorry. What's the... Oh, my God.
That was seamlessly done, my friend.
I'm not reading it. I'm trying to do it from memory.
It's not difficult.
I thought I could do it from memory. It didn't work out. Okay, let me...
I'm pretty sure even the dear listener could do it at this stage.
Oh, my God. Okay. let me...
Leave that in.
Damn. All right. Let me do it again. Let me try a new character I'm working on. Okay, here we go.
I could restart the whole thing if you like.
Yes, it does. You're fine. You know what? Dear listener can just deal with it. So, yeah, you can... Let me just say that you can send any of your song ideas to podcastkak on Twitter and email us at podcastkak@gmail.com. Okay, the song is... I just thought I'd play a little song called Ooh La La by Ronnie Lane and the Faces. Here we go. You might like this one. All his words, I thought he was a bitter man when he spoke of women's ways. They trap you and use you before you even know. But love is blind, you're far too kind, don't ever let it show. But I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger, and I wish that I knew what I know now when I was stronger. They can't cancel such a pretty show, it steals your heart away. The backstage back on earth again, the dressing rooms are gray. They come on strong, it ain't too long before they make you feel a man. But love is blind, but soon you'll find you're just a boy again. But I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger, and I wish that I knew what I know now when I was stronger, and I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger, and I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger. When you want her lips, you get it cheap, makes you wonder where you are. You want some more, if she's fast asleep, she leaves you twinkling with the stars. And poor young grandson, there's nothing I can say. You have to learn just like me, and that's the hardest way. But I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger, and I wish that I knew what I know now when I was stronger. Ooh la la, yeah, yeah. Ooh la la. Ooh la la, yeah, yeah. Ooh la la. Ooh la la, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. I do like a good French song.
Yeah, oui. Oui.
Mm. I'm assuming it's French because he uses the term ooh la la.
Oh, yeah. Which I think in French means, oh, yes.
Oh, yes, no? Baby.
Oh, yes, baby, yeah.
Now, who sung that song, sorry?
It was by the Faces.
Right.
One of the great unsung bands of musical history. Check them out.
Mm. Not the series of actors that played Face on the A-Team.
Was there a series of them?
No, but I had to bend it a bit for the joke.
Yeah, you had to heat it up and fold it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You got it.
Now, our dear listeners are probably thinking, I wish I'd known about how to get a P.O. box when I was younger. That would have been a good idea.
I think you could still do it. If you wanted to have like a holiday hobby, especially, nothing to do these days, get yourself a P.O. box. See what turns up in there.
See what sort of capers you can get into.
Exactly. But like, I would bring your own magnifying glass for sure.
You know, just the experience of forming a caper and being part of a syndicate.
Exactly. It must be so good when you put that syndicate together. Was it like in the shadows, or was it like, you know, was it directed by Martin Scorsese?
it was put together in the shadows, but once we'd formed and a plan and we were marching down together, of course, because we didn't want to make sure no one double-crossed each other.
Exactly.
Down to the post office.
In slow motion.
We walk in a power triangle, which is slow motion rock music like in a Marvel movie.
It's going to be Little Green Bag.
I'm sorry?
It's the song that plays at the start of Reservoir Dogs.
Oh.
It's Quentin Tarantino, you know. The ultimate slow-mo guys walking towards the camera in slow motion intro. Yeah, I get it. I get it, man. It's a killer track.
Imagine me looking cool and relaxed at the head of the syndicate, but also slightly excited and nervous.
Sunglasses on, though. But, you know, you wouldn't
fumbling
be able to tell.
Post office box key. And then fearing the moment when I knew that there'd be a little slip saying, you've got a box, and then having go to the window and say, yeah, I've got a box. Oh, that explains a lot.
All these microscopic porn catalogs jammed into your PO box.
The post office employees out the back had a pool on when I was going to actually buy a video.
I mean, there's some poor old elderly post office employee that had to wedge more and more. Like pornography catalogs on top of each other. You're only paying for the medium-sized box. It's chock-a-block.
Well, that's all very well, Cohen, but that does leave our dear listener with one question.
Indeed it does, Cusso. What's all that about? We'll chat to you in the next episode. And don't forget, you can tweet us with any of your discussion and song ideas on Podcast KAK on Twitter. And also email us at podcastkak@gmail.com. That's my radio voice.
I did figure that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening. It really actually does mean a lot to us. And do tell a friend if you have one, as that's how we hope to grow this very show. And if you have time and you're not immediately Googling the options available to you at your local post office for pornography receipt or items to help you enjoy the said same thing, give us a sweet 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice.
Till next time,
hooroo.
See you later.